Okay, there we go. Calling Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this Monday, June 10th at 11:45 a.m. And we'll start out with the first thing with the meeting agenda. If there was any additions, corrections to the agenda today that anyone want to add or subtract. Hearing none, the agenda will be as presented. We'll move on to the consent agenda, and the two things that are involved with the consent agenda are the minutes from May 28th meeting, and then reveal and approval of the payment, payment of the bills of $939,441.51. So I would look for a resolution to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
A resolution has been, I'm trying to say a little bit different, if you know, since I'm making the motion to accept the resolution here, whichever I know works, but is there any further discussion on this motion? Anything as far as the, I didn't see anything outstanding, as far as the bills, anything in comments? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, that resolution carries. Then we'll go on to the Labor Committee meeting minutes of June 4th, and I'll ask Commissioner Weber to present those.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, we met Tuesday, June 4th at 7:30 a.m. We reviewed a request for proposals that went out for a rate study of water and electric. Four had been sent out. We received two back, and one was significantly lower than the second one that we had received. So David Bird Consulting submitted and was a recommendation of the Labor Committee to accept this proposal amount of $23,000 for rate studies for electrical and water together. So I'd submit that for resolution.
Okay.
And I can go on to item number two.
Yeah, you go ahead and then we'll do that after we accept the minutes.
The second item of discussion was the renewable carbon-free energy program that Missouri River Energy Services has presented to us. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of questions with the Labor Committee. So there was a fair amount of what we thought was education that needed to happen with our customers. So we requested some polls to be submitted to the public. We've done that through Facebook. We've done that through the West Central Tribune. And we are just gathering some more information on what this all involves. We do need to be cognizant of time, that by August 1st, we do need to get back to Missouri River to tell them how many energy credits we may purchase, that it would be no cost to the utilities, however, it would be a cost to our consumers. It would be a way to support renewable energy without our customers actually having to personally buy renewable energy sources. So more information to follow on that, and we will be getting a pulse of our customers and how they feel about supporting this as well. That was all we talked about. We adjourned, so I would also submit for a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Weber. We need to accept the June 4th Labor Committee meeting minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second. Discussion on that at all? In the minutes. And I know that there's, you know, a lot of study, a lot of talk going on about that, but have an article in the paper, and doing the polls will be beneficial. And then I would assume that you're going to be meeting again and going over those poll results.
Correct. We'll go over the results. We've reached out to some of the larger customers, industrial customers, and see if it will fit into their renewable energy program from a corporate level. We'll be waiting for feedback from those groups as well.
Okay. That'll be good to, you know, kind of keep that follow-up. Bearing in mind, as you said, that there's a deadline that we're working with this, but it's kind of an exciting time to say that we can be all renewables. Okay, any further discussion? Justin?
Thank you, Madam President. John, on this topic, if I could address to you perhaps on the certificates, just a little bit more. I know there's more information to come on this, but can you help me better understand? You know, I see that there's some projected costs, and then, of course, we would institute this in customer billing. And I know that there's been plans presented where perhaps all customers would be brought into this, another one where perhaps we would allow them to opt in. If we went with that opt-in route, are we still facing these same fees, and how would that get distributed amongst those customers?
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. The numbers that you see in the minutes of the Labor Committee represent the utility purchasing either enough RECs equal to the power that contributes carbon in our energy footprint, and the 931,000 would reflect the number of RECs that would represent the amount of power that we purchase that is non-renewable. So those are the two numbers that reflect the two different scenarios or our two different footprints of our energy supply. How that equates into the customer's bill, you referred to an opt-out or an opt-in, the two options that were talked about. An opt-in would be for the utility to set the rate of the RECs, which for carbon-free is approximately 1.2 tenths of a cent, so 12 or 1.2 mils roughly, if you want to put it in mils. And for the full renewable, we're looking at about a little over 3 tenths of a cent. So if a customer, say you wanted to purchase RECs to offset your renewable or carbon footprint at your residential level, it would cost you to go full renewable about 3 tenths of a cent on your kilowatts consumed. Average household, Michelle's not in here. We could go back to the PowerPoint that we presented to the Labor Committee, but average household in Wilmer is 699 point some odd kilowatts, so 700 kilowatts is the average residential consumption in Wilmer. And that equates to, what was it, $1.19. Thank you, Commissioner Moreira. That equates to $1.19 for the average residential homeowner to support carbon-free and or renewable. And then they could, the three options actually, the Labor Committee talked about, discussed. One would be at the utility level, purchasing it, which would be a cost there. Another would be then to put a line item on customers' bills, and that's kind of where the polls are coming in. What level of interest do our customers have? We could either take the opt-out approach. If the level of interest is really high, it goes on the bill starting January 1st, and customers could then call and opt out. Or we could take the other approach and say, we're going to support it, we're going to market it, and customers can opt in. They can call and say, hey, sign me up. You know, for $2, $3, $4 a month, residential customer, I will support the program. So as Commissioner Weber indicated, there's more to come on that. There'll be another committee meeting, probably early next week. We do not have it set up yet, but we're hoping early next week. And we'll be discussing the poll results and the level of interest from our customers. And then at our next meeting, it is anticipated that there will be a recommendation to the commission as a whole on what approach we would take with this program.
If I could follow up on that. Hypothetically speaking, let's say 30% of our customers were interested and wanted to participate. Are we still facing the $500 to $1 million in cost, or not necessarily? It would be reduced based on the number of participants. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay.
The number of RECs we need to put in, our order, if you want to call it that, our request, on the number of RECs that we anticipate our customers will want to purchase. whether it's at utility level or customer level. We have to have that number by August 1st. In Missouri River, as our joint action agency, we'll take the number of RECs from all 60 members, 61 members, and they'll put those RECs out for bid, for an RFP.
And then is this renewed on an annual basis?
Correct.
Do you want to go up or down or however?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, correct. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, then we'll this is to approve the minutes. So all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same thing. Hearing none, that motion carries. Then from the the recommendation of the Labor Committee was for the rate study. And as you can see, the rate study is provided in our package here for today's meeting. And again, that, as Commissioner Weber mentioned, it was with the Dave Berg consultants to approve his package. And again, Commissioner Weber made that resolution to accept that rate study. Is there a second to that?
Second.
We'll let you decide, Beth, on that.
Sure.
Beth, first.
It's been it's been several years since we've had a rate study, so at this time it would be beneficial for us to take a look at it again.
Okay, so the resolution has been made and second for the discussion. And this Commissioner Weber's mentions it's been since 14, probably since we've had that last done. Well, so it's a good thing to go with all the things that are taking place. And in that study, if depends on how the rec situation, how the poll is coming, what the community decides, that would have to be forward in that rate study discussion, would it not?
Madam Chair, that is correct. Depending on the process that the commission ends up endorsing, may or may not affect the rate study, the rates in the study.
Okay.
If it's an opt-in or opt-out and it's a line item on the customer bills, it would not affect the rate study.
Okay. Any further questions? And then roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you again, Commissioner Weber, for the report. And then we'll go on to the next thing on our agenda. Here is the planning committee met on June 4th, and Commissioner DeBlake is at a national conference today, so Brendan McDonald is going to report on that, please. So, Commissioner McDonald.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda was a Northeast Water Treatment Plant update. The update included actions to date, water main modeling, the current status of the project, and proposed action, as well as a statement of the cash flows for our water division. The recommendation of staff at this time is to delay the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project to continue to monitor growth in the regulations as they relate to this project. There's a number of reasons to recommend the delay. To build a water treatment plant that will meet all the current salty discharge regulations, the cost will be approximately $90 million. There's a possibility that EPA and PCA regulations would change in our favor to potentially reduce that cost. The current plant is able to meet the water distribution needs of Wilmer for 3 to 4 years, so there's no urgent need to act now. And as well as to include the cost in a rate study and potentially fund the project in-house instead of the additional costs associated with bonding the project. So is the consensus of the planning committee to concur with this recommendation and to delay the water treatment plant project at this time and include the project in the upcoming rate study? The next item on the agenda was the 2019 water main replacement costs. We reviewed a listing of the scheduled city street projects for 2019 that included additional water main projects that weren't scheduled. The area of discussion focused on the need for water main replacement in South First Street. There's been multiple water main breaks there. And also the relocation of the water main associated with the 19th Avenue roundabout. There's been discussion between the utility and city staff about this project. City staff, is of the opinion that the MOA only applies to water mains that are replaced with city street projects, and they're proposing to pay for the engineering and fire hydrants. The utility staff is of the opinion the MOA applies to all water main replacement, as there is no reference to streets in the MOA. The cost difference between the MOA past practice and the city's proposal for the two 2018 projects and an additional 2020 project is approximately $126,000. So in the spirit of cooperation, staff is recommending that we move forward with the two 2018 projects with cost sharing as per the city proposal. The planning committee agreed to recommend to go forward with both of the 2019 projects. And we'd like to note that this action is being recommended in the spirit of cooperation and not as a precedent for future projects. Hopefully we can eliminate some of the confusion with the MOA between the utility and the city council and city staff. The next item on the agenda is generation update. We have 5 proposed diesel generators for local generation that we have DGR modeling emissions output for. One of the holdups on these generators is that permitting for emissions, and it's a possibility that they could require some 100-foot stacks to meet emissions requirements. So staff will continue to move forward exploring generation option and will keep us informed. Fourth item on the agenda is utility-owned properties and equipment. We have the Prime Substation property, which is adjacent to our Prime Substation, but won't be used for that substation. We have recommendations from both GRE and MRES to keep the land as it has potential for future transmission lines. So we agree with the recommendation of staff to keep utilizing the property as acreage for grazing land. There's also acreage next to Menards, and we agree with the recommendation of staff to keep the property since it might be suitable for future development. And there's lots adjacent to the downtown location that we might have the ability to bundle with other utilities or other utility-owned properties in the future. So we also agree with the recommendation to retain these two properties. And then we were able to sell off our power plant equipment, our coal equipment, since we no longer need it. And there was no further business to come before the planning committee.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner McDonald. Is there a motion to accept the meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
A motion been made and second to accept the minutes as presented. And as you see on our agenda, there are some things out of that we will require separate motions, but at this time it's just the minutes. So further discussion on the minutes at this time. Hearing none, all in favor, right, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Okay, and from out of that planning committee meeting minutes, then we'll start with the first thing is the recommendation to the consideration of to delay the water treatment plant project with all the things that are going on with that and with the salty discharge and some of the things that are happening there. I would look for a motion to accept the recommendation of the planning committee that would be delayed.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Is there further questions on the consideration of that delay? I know you did mention that as far as the current plant should be good for the next 3 to 4 years about the development that's going on and the ongoing discussion about additional housing and that type of thing, that would still, you feel that would still meet the needs that we potentially could have over the next 3-4 years of development in the community.
That was actually addressed in the Burns and McDonald study for the addition of the units on 30th Street and 15th Street classes. So the addition were in that study that we were looking at, so yes.
Thank you. I don't ask questions. I just give you the eye there. Thank you for answering, Mr. Brady. You have good communication there.
Just to expand on a little further, as Joel indicated, it's in the Burns and McDonald study, but we'll continue to monitor growth of the city to, you know, see what's coming that has not been identified at this point in time or incorporated into that study. And if, you know, if the community was so fortunate that, you know, things would more development would materialize here that would consume our capacity, and this would be brought back in front of the commission sooner than 3-4 years. So we'll continue to monitor development.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions as far as that?
Madam Chair, just clarification. We'd look at it, but what are the trigger points that we would need to look at if something happened?
You want to hear me?
For capacity or...
Either a large-scale industry would trigger that, also some large development, some of the game that would be large development, we would go along those ahead of time, but that would trigger it.
Commissioner, we're also going to expand on it further when we talk about enough capacity for 3-4 years out. That's looking at residential growth, because as we speak today and as we look at these studies, there is no wet, as we refer to it, wet industry or large volume, water user, industrial customer looking at Wilmer right now that we're aware of. So if the city made us aware of that in 6 months, that they were working with somebody and they were serious, 6 months from now, we would be back here talking about this project.
Any other questions? Okay, so all those in favor of the recommendation to delay the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. The next thing that was brought up in the minutes, approving the 2019 water main replacement costs with a city cost and with the breakdown going on there. Again, the recommendation from the committee was in light of cooperation with the city and the discussion we've had with the MOA, but I would make that motion to accept that water main replacement costs as recommended. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second to accept that recommendation for approving water main replacement costs. Is there discussion? Commissioner Madden.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, on this topic, and Commissioner McDonald addressed this in the minutes a little bit, but if I could bring aware maybe to our city council liaison, Mr. Meske. You know, staff has had some struggles with some of these discussions, including the Y project in the past, and again, I appreciate your involvement in moving that forward. In light of that, there have been some struggles with, I think, some understandings in this MOA that we do have. If there's an ambiguity within that document that we need to address, I think we should take a look at that. But I want the city council, I think, to be aware that staff is having some disagreements with these discussions. I'm not sure if that has been brought up at the council level at this point or not, but we do agree to move forward. This is, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, a small enough thing that we're willing to just move forward and do our part here, but I think that this is something that we just want to make sure that everybody's aware of so that it doesn't cause greater problems in the future.
Councilman Muskie.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this particular item. It was on the agenda last council meeting to come forward, but it got pulled off the agenda. And so I think, I would believe the council is probably of the same thought that we create MOAs when there's confusion or ambiguity, where we want to delineate roles and responsibilities so it doesn't have to come back to the council, so city staff and in this case the utilities can work together to make those things work. It is disappointing when they don't work the way they're supposed to, and so in the spirit that you say you wish to cooperate, that was what an MOA is supposed to be in the first place. So I appreciate the continued cooperation from the commission, but truly these types of issues are supposed to be rectified with MOAs, and if we need to clarify the MOA even further, I think the council would be very, very, that would be a desirable outcome for us as well. And I thank you for bringing it forward, because it's coming up too often, and it needs to stop doing that. That's why we do MOAs.
Thank you for your input and discussion there. Other questions that you may have regarding the replacement costs?
So I'm happy to hear that the council is willing to take a look at the memorandum and clear up any any confusion. I would suggest, or I would hope, that we could bring in somebody like an outsider to help write this so that it's clear, because they're not involved in the project day to day. So if it's clear to them what it means, then hopefully it'll be clear to current city staff and city staff going forward, as well as commission or utility commission staff, current and future. Because we gave it one shot and it has some ambiguity left, so hopefully we can recruit some help.
I don't disagree with that necessarily, but it just seems that we have very qualified folks in both the Utilities Commission and the utilities at large, and as well in the city, that they shouldn't come up with things that have ambiguity in it. But if we can't do it ourselves, I would definitely think we should probably get some help. But I'm still hopeful that we have very bright folks that can come up with a solution.
Mr. Scott?
Yes.
I can put you on the spot a little bit, but in regards to the suggestion from Commissioner McDonald, any thoughts as far as how you see that MOA reading or anything that we could do to make that, as Musky says, that a little bit more understandable or working forward together on it?
Commissioner, without offering an opinion on just what it, as it's written right now, what it requires of the two parties, obviously there appears to be a different understanding of its scope. And my suggestion would be that if the staff for both the utilities and the city can at least agree to meet and try and come out of the same page, I would be happy to suggest an amendment to the MOA that would give effect to the party's intent. But I do think it's fundamentally up to both the staff of both parties to make sure that they have the same understanding. Once that's achieved, I'd be happy to step in and try and provide language that would clearly carry out that intent.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor of accepting the recommendation to move forward on the water main replacement as cost as defined in the minutes? All those in favor signify. Oh, let's see. Yeah, all those in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Then we'll go on to the last item that was brought up from the minutes was regarding property options that we have. And as stated by Commissioner Madden, it would be retaining a Priam substation property as potential for future use. The farm acreage adjacent to the Menards store, again, retaining that at this point. And then the former Jerry's Liquor Taco John's properties, because as we go forward and depending on what happens with at the power plant and that, it could be combined properties on that. So I would look to for a motion to accept that we retain those properties.
So moved. Second.
Motion made and second to retain the properties for potential future use. Is there any further discussion? Commissioner Madden.
Thank you, Madam President. I think if I could just clarify on these properties, right now there is no foreseeable need or use for these properties. Again, it's just the unknown of what the future could hold that we're deciding to hang on to these. So it's not that we have any specific plans in mind currently.
Okay, thank you for that clarification there, Commissioner Madden. Any other comments on that? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Thank you. Okay, then we'll go on to our power cost summary, and we'll have our manager, Chris Carlson, please address that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cost of power for April rose from the March average price per kilowatt hour to 7.1 cents a kilowatt hour. And as a reminder, refer to the current month on the far right for the 12-month rolling average for the most up-to-date information. So the overall cost of power for the 12-month rolling average through April has risen by 1 mil to 6.4 cents a kilowatt hour.
Okay, hearing none. Thank you for the report, Ms. Carlson. Then we'll go to on and let you address the EAA update, please.
Okay, so as a reminder, I say this every time, the energy acquisition adjustment is designed to track and adjust retail rates for uncontrollable changes to power supply costs. This includes variable costs like fuel and repairs. If an EAA is implemented, it's a short-term temporary solution and avoids the need to go through a lengthy rate increase process. So the EAA has been updated through April 2019, and the position is at $480,000 over-collected. But with the onset of summer, I expect to see the position drop. This optimal position would be at the $0 line. That's what we're looking for. As you can see by the year-end balance, that's projected to be approximately $75,000 over-collected. This is for information only. As no action is required at this time, staff will continue to monitor and keep the commission informed.
Okay. Questions? Manager Carlson? Just at this point, we're still okay with all of it, so that we don't need to change the rate or do anything differently or add that to the bills. Any other comment regarding that at all? Okay, thank you very much for your report. Then we'll go to the Prime Substation Project update. I'm anxious to hear about that. And our electrical engineer, Mr. Smith, will give that report.
Thanks, Madam Chair. We are nearing completion of the Prime Substation, so I thought it would be fitting to give you a little update on where we are. Right now, our substation contractor, Conductor Power, out of Brainerd, Minnesota, is approximately 85% complete. The recent work that they've finished is the transformer relocation, which was a big milestone. They've also removed a lot of the obsolete equipment from the Wilmer substation, and they have completed all the substation rock, which is a big visible thing to note. Work remaining for them is all transformer related, so they have to reassemble it. There's a concrete oil containment wall and then connecting the high voltage, low voltage and station power electrical lines. That's not the only work that we have out there. We also have our testing and commissioning contractor, Great River Energy. They are 55% complete as far as bills go. They're actually a little bit beyond this with the work performed, and the invoice is about a month late. The recent work finished is energizing the 69 kV end of the substation, the remote terminal testing and commissioning. So if you'll remember, there's one power line that goes into the substation, and there's two power lines that come out of the substation. The two power lines that come out to serve load are at 69 kV, and they serve a couple different substations. At those substations that are served by this one, we updated some of the relaying and protection equipment along with the new substation, just to keep everything on both ends of the line speaking the same language. And then also fiber and SCADA testing. So GRE, as the system operator, is able to control and monitor all the data points out at Prime Substation. And then we, at our plant operations here, can monitor what's happening out there as well. That's all been tested and is up and running. Work remaining for Great River Energy is to test and energize the 115 line. The reason we can't do that right now is because there's a lot of heavy equipment out there performing the work to put the transformer online. So that needs to stay grounded and de-energized. And then they also obviously have the transformer testing and energization to complete. A brief cost update. The budget for this substation was $4.9 million. We've spent $4.2 million. I use the word obligation here. I don't know if that's the appropriate one, but that's what's remaining in our contracts for both GRE and Conductor Power at $365,000. We haven't had much for change orders so far. There is a significant one that we anticipate concerning a transformer. We attempted to move the transformer the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Once we've got the transformer in position to be lifted by the crane, the scale on the crane provides a weight readout, and that was 20,000 pounds heavier than what we planned for. And what we used to plan is the nameplate and the manufacturer's drawings of the transformer. They give disassembled shipping weight, so that's the weight we used. The heavy haul contractor actually overshot that a little bit to give themselves some wiggle room in case it was a little overweight, but their trailer was only capable of transporting, I think it was 130,000 pounds, and the transformer was actually weighing 150,000 pounds. So they weren't able to move the transformer on that first attempt on Friday. The crane crew demobilized, and the subcontractors, actually Delta Star, that's coordinating this transformer move, they were able to find another crane operator with a trailer that had the capacity to pull this. And they did that a couple weeks ago, so we were able to get past that hurdle, but it is going to come at a change order cost. Now, this $77,000 would be worst case. This is what Delta Star has estimated to charge Conductor Power, because Conductor Power is the company that actually hired this transformer moving company. Then Conductor Power would have to actually issue us an official change order, and then our engineer DGR will either approve or deny all or parts of that. So I wouldn't expect it to be any more than this. I would actually expect it to be less. When we write our bid spec, we use unit pricing. So they can only charge us what they bid in their spec. And we also allow for a certain amount of matting. Just the engineering design says if matting is needed, this is how much it takes. And so matting is just big planks they put down over the ground in case the ground is soft. And we had a wet year this year, and so matting was required. And I guess in that last bullet point, I kind of identify a few of the items in this change order. It's the extra labor to install and remove the matting, and then the second crane mobilization is what changed the price there a little bit. More will come on that when we actually know the final costs and what has been approved and what hasn't been approved. Getting into some pictures, this is kind of a before and after sort of view that I'm going to show you. If I can get my mouse up here, you'll notice all of these structures are just kind of standing independent of each other. There's nothing connecting them. We're looking at, this is a 115 dead end, so what that means is the 115 line, the input line from Excel, is coming into the substation and attaches to these structures, and then it goes to serve the substation, then on to serve our load. Again, we're looking at that same 115 dead-end structure, but you'll notice there's some bus work. This is rigid aluminum pipe that basically connects the different structures together. The electrical power flows through these structures. And then here we see an Excel truck connecting the line to the dead-end, so then it will feed into our transformer and out to our customers. Here's another view. It just shows the progress of the rock. They've got most of, this is the 69 kV area covered. The 115 area is then what you see still in dirt. Another view of the rock in the 69 kV area, and also on this view you can see the transformer pad just waiting for a transformer. This is back at our Wilmer substation. This is where the 115 transformer, which I'm showing you here, started. This is the crane they used to disassemble the transformer. So there's cooling fans and radiators that they've already pulled off. This is an expansion tank for oil. As it gets hot or cold, it expands and contracts. And because of the amount of oil in the tank, they actually have to have it overflow into this separate tank here. And then they pulled the bushings off the top just for the transport to keep the height a little lower. This is a video of how the transformer actually gets moved because of the overhead electrical hazards at the substation. They had to slide it out. This is a hydraulic setup, and this beam actually has little notches on it, so the hydraulic setup will lock into those notches, and then it pushes the transformer about 2 feet, and then it slides up to the next notch. And you'll see it. It's slow and it's hard to see, but it's pulling itself into the next notch. The flag will kind of snap there, and then it pushes back out. So you'll see this expanding a little bit. And this is real time, how fast it goes. So it was slow but steady. This transformer sits right on top of like a piece of plastic that sits on top of these beams, and they just use soap to lubricate it. And that's how it's done, in case you were curious. So we had to go maybe 50 feet where they had to slide it, and then they turned 90 degrees and continued sliding it. I found it interesting. Here's the first crane lifting the transformer. And again, you can kind of see the wet conditions, and you can see a little bit of the matting that they put down here too. Another interesting thing to me, anyways, is they lift up the transformer and then they backed the trailer in underneath it. And this is a rear steer trailer. You can kind of see the steering mechanism on the back end of this. So here's a view of the whole trailer and semi as it's pulling out of the Wilmer substation. You can see there's an operator back here steering the back end. And then this is the transformer being placed on the new pad at Priam. Before I go to questions, I just wanted to update you a little bit on schedule. I didn't put it in there because it seems to be changing pretty frequently as we get near to the finish. However, right now, Conductor Power is working on the oil containment wall, the concrete oil containment wall out at the Priam substation. Delta Star will be here on Wednesday to complete the transformer assembly. They have some bushing work to do still. Next Monday on the 17th, Great River Energy will test the transformer before they energize it, and then on Wednesday is when we're scheduled to energize the transformer for the first time. And after that, it'll just be finalization. So, do you have any questions for me?
I have one question, just out of curiosity. When you said that it was heavier, that 20,000 pounds heavier and stuff, than what you said. So the cement pad that you put on it, was that designed to accommodate that?
Yeah, the concrete
obviously it would be sinking down, I suppose.
They overbuild that pretty significantly. Oh. And it's designed for the full weight of the transformer as well. So with all the attachments on it, we're pretty confident on that weight from the manufacturer's drawing. Couldn't be any concern there.
Any other questions? Very, very interesting.
There was a significant change between that 130,000 pounds and the 150,000 pounds, where they couldn't do it with just a standard trailer with, you know, three axles in the back. They had to go to the rear steer. That's why the moving company kind of gave themselves, they still gave themselves room for error. It was over 10%. However, they didn't bump it up to the next level because it's just cost more.
Yeah. Any other questions from anyone? Again, thank you. I appreciate the pictures in there because I wasn't out. I didn't hear any ribbon cutting that's coming there. It's actually going to go out all over the place. I'll wait to hear that where we put that in. Okay. Again, thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Mayor Next on our agenda is our wind turbine report, and our facilities and maintenance supervisor, Mr. Marty, will address that, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see in the May 19 wind turbine report, the total kilowatt hours was 668,434. Of that availability, turbine number 3 was available 98.2% of the time, and number 4 was 90.7%. And as mentioned last month, part of that was due to semi-annual maintenance was wrapped up in early May, late April, and into early May. So for the year-to-date, we're at 3,133,708 kilowatt hours produced. And looking back on May's total, it's the highest output since 2015. That's kind of the number we shoot for, the best year that we had. So we're having another decent month, we feel, and things have been going well. So.
When were these installed again? Remember?
That was in
9. Okay. Okay. All right, and here we are at 19, so it's taken us a little while, but we're there. We're getting there. And thank you very much to you and your staff for the work that's been done, because a lot has been done with those wind turbines. Thank you for your report. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll go to our general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tomorrow, Labor Committee, we will be meeting with the union regarding grievance 7452. It has to do with our hiring practice with filling our lead water operator's position. So more to come on that after tomorrow. And then we have our employee luncheon, June 13th, where we recognize employees' years of service as well as safety, our safety record that we have ongoing. So commission's invited to attend that as well. And then additional meetings and agenda items that are forthcoming as time permits, and it's appropriate to schedule those meetings. Then you move down just below adjournment, you'll see 2019 future events/dates of interest. You can read through them and sign up accordingly. But most importantly, I'd like to note the very bottom item, the 2019 WMU strategic initiatives. At the request of our Madam Chair, we added our initiatives to the agenda here so that we can keep them in the forefront of the commission as we do our business, as the commission goes about doing their business here. And actually, we're looking for input from the commission if they feel it's appropriate that we leave them at on our agenda at the bottom. So it was one of the items that came up out of the APPA's governance webinars, that we keep our strategic initiatives in the forefront. So.
Thank you. Comments from the commission regarding the initiatives being placed there. As you know, that's the first step of our overall plan, and that staff is working on, as we discussed, the responsibilities, timelines, that type of thing. Any comments one way or the other, yay, nay, or I don't care? Or again, as we discussed, it's, you know, our responsibility as far as strategically planning for the future of this organization and the services to this community. So I see it as important to be in front of us so we don't forget that. Always looking for the fiscal responsibility and what's going on. I'll take it as approval instead of dissent. Okay. If we had red green hands, we'd do the red green hand thing. Any further discussion? Anything more to come before the council or the commission? I'm sorry. We'll let Sean handle the council. We'll do the commission. Hearing none, I adjourn this meeting.